Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring, and I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, views of our guests, the views of our callers, and if you're out there across America, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being, because we're going to have another fascinating hour with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. And I was just watching Dr. Tenpenny's video last night, and she's, of course, is a doctor who's been worked in the emergency room. She is, of course, a busy practicing physician. And then, of course, she began to be concerned about the issue of vaccines. And just a couple of years ago, she really began to investigate the vaccines and to read what the CDC said about vaccines. And then she began going around the country telling people about the dangers of some of the vaccines we're giving to children. Now, we're told, oh, you know, if you love your child, you don't want them to get these diseases, and look at the wonderful things that have happened since we've been giving them the vaccines, and look how much healthier our children are. But that is sort of a half-truth, and, of course, a half-truth is no better than a lie. Dr. Tenpenny, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Nice to be here.
Well, I just watched your video last night, and of course, we're going to give you an opportunity to talk about that in just a moment here. We have to begin adding some other stations to our network. But Dr. Tenpenny really has a great contribution as far as your understanding of the issue, and you better become informed, because, of course, there's no second chance. And once you've taken some of these vaccines that have other live animal vaccines in them or other vaccines that can influence, they'll be with you for the rest of your life. We'll be right back here with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and we're going to be talking this next hour about vaccines and what you need to know that you're not going to get from your doctor. And this isn't to say that your doctor is trying to withhold anything from you. These are the things he was never taught in medical school, because his teachers didn't help him, and maybe the teachers didn't know. But Dr. Tenpenny, you've been doing a lot of reading and studying and getting the information from the CDC, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and plenty of other places through Medline and conventional medical journals. The information is out there. You just have to read it.
Well, of course, what have you found? You know, you were trained as I was. You know, boy, vaccines are, we've done wonderful things to help people with vaccines, and look what all the good we've done. But, of course, how would you respond to that?
Oh, gosh. I would say that we are not looking at the right things. We are only looking at the reduction in the amount of infectious disease that's out there, and that public health is certainly more than just low infectious disease rates and high vaccination rates. Public health has to do with health in all sorts of areas, including asthma, allergies, eczema, ADD, ADHD, and autism. And much of the research that I found, and it's not hidden, you just have to go looking for it, shows that the vaccines absolutely, unequivocally will contribute to a lot of these other health concerns. And those are overlooked and really not thought much about. It's sort of like one of those old expressions in medicine, you can't find a fever if you don't take a temperature. Well, if you're really not looking for an association between things, you really won't find it.
But, you know, so many of the parents do find that, and I have heard, and I'm sure you've heard many times, the parent has said, my child was fine, developing normally, and I took them to the doctor, and they had a shot, and right at that point, why everything changed. Have you heard that?
On a daily basis in my office practice. About a third of our practice is pediatrics, and a third of the kids we see are autistic or in the autistic spectrum. And it's heartbreaking to know and to hear that almost all of the stories from the parents are very similar. My child was growing along, making all of their milestones, doing just fine, and then they got whatever vaccines, and within a period of time, it's generally not the next day or the next week, but within the next couple of months, they start regressing on their milestones and they lose their language skills. However, I have heard several parents that I've spoken to that within a 24-hour period of time, their children have completely regressed into autism right after a vaccine.
We're going to have to interrupt you there because we've got to add just one more of our stations and then we'll be complete. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest this afternoon is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I, of course, spent last night watching her video, a fascinating video, and we're going to let you find out how to get that a little later in the program. But we're talking now about, of course, vaccines, and of course, all the complications that nobody ever tells you about. But if there weren't complications, why do you think that they set up a system of laws that you can't sell the vaccine manufacturers? Oh, we have to do that because, of course, if we didn't have those protections, they wouldn't make the vaccines. Well, if they're not going to make a safe product, do you really want to give it to your child? And that's the question that we think we have to ask. And, of course, they're saying, look at all the children who would die if we weren't giving the vaccines. How do you answer that, Sherry?
I say that there may be an element of truth that some children may contract an infectious disease and may succumb to that, and which is always an unfortunate situation. But there are also many other children who are being injured and killed and die from the vaccines. In fact, some of the most recent studies, the analysis that came out by Dr. Mark Greer that's been published within the last 3 to 4 months, he did a complete analysis of the VAERS data, which is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System data, from, I believe, 1991 through December of 2002, and there are over 244,000 reports on the VAERS data, and it's estimated that that is only about 10% of the actual injuries that occur, which means that upwards to 2.4 million children may be injured by vaccines, and the injury can be anything from a sore arm, a high-pitched scream, crying that can last for days, to death, and there were over 5,800 reports of deaths in the VAERS data in that period of time.
Now, where is that report published?
There are plenty of places where it's published. It's Dr. Mark Greer. It's Greier. On one of the breaks, I can pull that up for you and give it to your listeners.
I've had him on the line, but I haven't had him on in some time, so I'd like to see that latest one. We'll have to get him back again.
It's fairly new. It has only been out in the last couple of months. He presented his data to Congress. It's a complete analysis that he did on the VAERS data. It's very thorough, and if you consider that the JAMA articles have said that approximately 10% of all injuries are even reported to the VAERS data database. So if you could say, well, gee, if there were 5,800 reported incidents of death thought to be caused due to vaccines, that number could actually be 58,000. So this is not a benign situation. And when you look at the potential number of deaths from an infectious disease, there's no way to really extrapolate how many that would be, but I would imagine that with our health care that we have now in terms of neonatal intensive care units, antiviral medications, antibiotics, I would imagine that the death rate would be mighty small.
All right, fine. And, of course, could you explain to our listeners what the VAERS data is? Because, of course, they're not acquainted with many of them with this term.
The VAERS is an acronym. It's V-A-E-R-S for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It was set up by Congress through the passage of the 1986 Vaccine Injury Compensation Program to collect data in terms of vaccine injuries. Anyone can post an injury on the VAERS database. It can be a doctor, it can be a parent, a grandparent, a neighbor, a nurse. It can be anyone who can post an injury. And it is a little bellwether thing that the CDC follows in terms of being able to check out what's going on with vaccine injuries. Out of that, in addition to the Injury Compensation Program, there is the into the injury compensation law from 1986. There's the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program that has paid out over $1.8 billion in the last 10 years or so for vaccine injury-associated deaths.
All right, fine. So I think it's important that you understand that there are a lot of complications. They're up there. And, of course, if you look, for instance, at the number of children who contract hepatitis B, during the first 14 years of life and compare it with the number of complications that you have from the vaccine shot, there's no comparison. I mean, there have been deaths, there have been permanent injury, neurological problems. Far more than the actual number of cases, and yet they insist on giving it in the hospital, on the first or second day of in the nursery. This is incredible. How do you feel about the hepatitis B vaccine? Let's just take one or two vaccines and talk about it.
Well, the hepatitis B is the one that I feel is the most vile, if I could use that term.
You go right ahead. You're my friend here.
I believe that there is no reason for it, that when it was started in this country in 1991, we were not having an epidemic of hepatitis B in children or in adults, and the only people that had hepatitis B were IV drug abusing alcoholics from indigent inner city types of places. They had developed a vaccine to give to those people, and they were refusing it. And so they were using the hepatitis B vaccine internationally in countries where hepatitis B is endemic, and they were having large numbers of hepatitis B in, say, Thailand and China and third world countries. So the 1991 position paper on hepatitis B says, since they're doing it in third world countries, I guess we'll just start doing it here.
And of course, in China, there are 700 million people who've had hepatitis B and a couple hundred million that are carriers. And how did they get it? Why, they got vaccinations with dirty needles. And now we've got to correct that. So we're going to give it to everybody there, the vaccine, because mothers will pass it on to the children. And we might as well do it here, even though this is a non-problem. But, it's good business, because you get about $80 for one of those shots. I don't know how much they cost. How much do those shots? Now, you were on the front lines. When I took those shots, they were $80. Has the price come down?
I don't know. I don't really know the answer to that.
All right, fine. Well, I think the price has come down from there. But what sort of problems do the children get when they get this?
Oh, there's a litany of problems. Hepatitis B is the most neurotoxic vaccine, I believe, with maybe pertussis being a close second. There are a lot of neurological problems. They get reflux esophagitis very early on in their development. They can have abnormal development from there. And if you're giving a vaccine to a baby at birth, how do you know whether something happened at birth and that child is just developing abnormally? Or was that a normal child and now is abnormal because of the vaccine? I think it's a very deceptive thing to do.
Well, I think that the problem with this is that the gene that you're giving, basically a gene, and that gene is very similar to the gene that surrounds the myelin sheath or the nerve sheath. And so basically then you get an autoimmune reaction, because of course this is set up so that you get an immune response to that gene. And now you begin attacking the myelin sheath. Aren't there an awful lot of people, both children and adults, who've had neurological problems because of it?
Yes, there are. And the autoimmune component is very important. In fact, there was a large class action lawsuit, I believe it was in 1988 or 89, in France, where 15,000 people sued the French government because of the autoimmune MS-like syndrome that was being caused by the hepatitis B vaccine. The hepatitis B vaccine in France was only given to teenagers, and there were 15,000 kids, teenagers and adults. And there were 15,000 people who contracted a syndrome that looked very much like MS. They sued the government of France, and now the French government no longer gives the hepatitis B vaccine to children.
In other words, they just don't insist on it in France. And have any other countries given that up as well?
I don't know. There's enough to keep track of here. I don't do a lot in the international realm of vaccination. This is it's a moving target with what's going on with the vaccine industry, and almost on a daily basis, there's something that needs my attention. So I tend to keep my focus here.
Oh, I find I was trying to learn from you because I heard that France had given it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand this. I know many people who've had serious, neurological peripheral neuropathy after taking those vaccines. Otherwise, healthy people, suddenly they develop a peripheral neuropathy, and you go to the doctor, and if he doesn't know why you have it, and it's not due to diabetes or alcoholism or vitamin deficiency or lead poisoning, he says, it's idiopathic. Oh, and you say, oh, thank you, doctor, it's idiopathic. That means they don't know why you've got it.
Mm-hmm.
An awful lot of people, and you're seeing more of it in people who've had the hepatitis B vaccine. In fact, if you look at those records, aren't there an awful lot of people reporting peripheral neuritis after hepatitis B?
Yes, and that's the one vaccine that it isn't just causing damage amongst children with autoimmune diseases and neurological disorders. It's also in adults. Because adults may be required, if they are in the healthcare industry or they're blood handlers or they're paramedics or firemen, police people, may be required to get the hepatitis B vaccine. So there is a large number of people in the adult population who are also suffering from those types of health problems.
And I can tell you from personal experience, I have a very extensive peripheral neuritis. It's progressively getting worse. We've been to the university and they said, oh, you have idiopathic peripheral neuropathy, and of course that means they don't know why I've got it, but you know, I don't even know how we would be able to prove it one way or the other, but I sure didn't have it beforehand, and I've seen this in so many of my friends, of course, who took it because we were told, oh, this is perfectly harmless, this isn't a bacteria, this isn't a virus, we're just going to give you genetic, it was made in the laboratory. But of course, what about all these children that are having real problems? So this is something. Now, what should a parent do? You know, they say, well, you've got to give this, you know, in the nursery, because we're here from the government and we're here to help you, and this is beneficial.
Stand up and scream no. And seriously, you really need to just stand firm and say no.
And, of course, you know, you just ask them to sign a form that they'll be fully responsible personally for any damage done to your child. And nobody is going to sign a form like that.
Good idea. That's excellent. Yes, excellent.
Well, the doctors are going to tell you that because they're told that, you know, it's perfectly all right and this is the way things are done. But I will tell you, I've heard of some doctors who do one thing in the office, but they're not going to get their children vaccinated with some of these because they've read some of the reports. But there's a standard of medical practice, and doctors are trapped into doing it. And, well, the only thing that's going to protect you is knowledge. And that's what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to share with us right now. We got a quick break, and we'll be right back and invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you a little bit about the Big Berkey and Berkey Life water filters, which we carry, and we think that they're great. In fact, you know, first of all, if you don't like the taste of your water, if you're worried about contaminants in it, why, of course, these are very efficient water filters, both of them. But, of course, if there were ever any sort of an emergency in our society, and you would have to rely upon alternative water sources from rivers or streams, you don't want to have to distill it, or you don't want to have to boil it. You can run your water through there, and but a lot of people just like the taste of water that's been filtered. And, of course, the Big Berkey is what the missionaries have used for 150 years. It's stainless steel, actually very attractive. You put the water in the top, it comes out the bottom, and nothing very complicated about it. The water goes through ceramic filters that are impregnated with silver to keep down the bacteria counts. You don't get any of the silver. This just kills bacteria. But the most important thing, the bacteria don't get through this ceramic. And then, of course, you take out many of the other products and the other dangerous things by the activated carbon. These are $279. We offer them for $238. And if you buy them through Radio Liberty, why, you get either a four-tape set or a video we produce. Now, these are sold in every state except for California and Iowa. If you'd like to get one in California, a portable filter, why, of course, these are available. They're called the Berkey Light. And, of course, they're $199. They're made of Lexan, and, of course, it's transparent. You can see the level of the water. They have a different filter. It's called a Black Berkey filter, and they're really much more efficient than the others, but they have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years, where the others can be used and boiled and cleaned repeatedly. So if you'd like to get either the Berkey Light or the Black Berkey, why, or the Big Berkey, go to our website and you can actually see them there. The Berkey Light is $199. The Big Berkey is $239. Go to our website at radioliberty.com and then call 1-800-5-HIV-WARP. Well, that number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and as long as we've got her on the line, before we forget, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get your video?
Sure. They can call 440-268-0897 and order it directly, or they can go to our website at www.nmaseminars.com.
Give that telephone number again.
440-268-0897.
That's 440-268-0897 or www.nmaseminars, right?
Yes, that stands for New Medical Awareness Seminars, nmaseminars.com.
All right, fine. And so certainly feel that the hepatitis B vaccine, there's no medical justification for it, but they're not going to tell you that. Oh, they're going to tell you, oh, no, we know what we're doing because, after all, we have a degree. But I will tell you, that aren't some of the doctors really, really concerned about this? I mean, if you get them aside and talk to them and you ask, why are we giving our children a potentially dangerous vaccine for a non-problem?
Yes, I believe that they are. When you take them into the coat closet and they search the closet to make sure there's no hidden microphones, they'll tell you.
All right, fine. Well, now, let's get into some of the other vaccines they're giving.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I mean, it's been wonderful. You know, we've done away with polio, and we're not seeing the only cases of polio we've seen now in many years, those that came from the polio vaccine going wild. In other words, suddenly becoming pathologic and infecting a parent. But this is maybe 4, 6, 8 patients a year in the entire nation. But what about the dangers of the polio vaccine that the public has never been told about?
Well, there's vaccine contaminants, there's aluminum, there's some mercury in some of them. The oral polio vaccine we don't use here anymore, like you mentioned. The only one that we use here now is the injectable polio. And there has not been polio in the Western Hemisphere since 1994. And so it's a quandary to me to why we still feel that we need to give our children 5 polio vaccines. And the basic argument is, well, polio is only a plane ride away, but in my review of the literature, in an 18-year period of time, there were only 6 cases of imported polio. The most recent one was in New York City in 1993. So how real is that risk? And the only pockets of polio that are left anywhere in the world are in northern India and some places in Bangladesh. So I don't feel that that it is really warranted to give the five polio vaccines. In fact, I'm quite sure that we really don't need to give any.
All right, fine. Well, now, what about MMR? Because, of course, here we're dealing with live vaccines, and certainly measles, they're telling us, oh, we've got to do this because we don't want our children dying from vaccines. And, of course, we don't want our children dying from vaccines. But, of course, what about the risk-benefit ratio? And what happens when we give live vaccines to children? And why are we giving boys the vaccine for German measles and girls the vaccine for mumps? They don't need them.
Correct. And the fear factor that comes into parents is that pediatricians or family doctors will say, if your child gets measles, there's a possibility that they will die. Well, statistically, the numbers actually showed that the death rate from measles in 1963 was 3 per 10 million kids. So statistically, that's almost negligible, 3 per 10 million. And that was 2 years before the vaccine was even developed. So the moral of that story is that kids, even though we were still having outbreaks of measles, children stopped dying from measles a couple of years before we even had the vaccine. One of my most recent quests of the research that I've been doing is the connection between vaccines and the development of allergies. And I've found some fairly substantial articles in the medical literature connecting vaccines with the development of IgE-type allergies, which from a conventional medical standpoint, that's your typical allergy asthma profile is caused by an antibody whose name is IgE. And in the MMR, the most significant piece of that shows unequivocally the development of IgE antibodies and that are long-lasting and persistent is the rubella portion. And now it's being shown in the literature that rubella may be a contributor to asthma and allergies, the rubella vaccine may be a contributor to that. And as we both know, Dr. Stan, that's one of the largest epidemics going on in our children today is the epidemics of asthma and allergies.
And of course, I mean, every time you give a shot, you challenge the immune system. And so many of my son came home with from the military, and, you know, he'd get a shot every time he turned around. He almost died of the allergy, which he developed in the military. And of course, for years afterwards, he was allergic to everything. And they're not telling you the truth about the allergies you get. I talked to Ken Alaback. Well, we'll tell you about that when we get back. But of course, when we get back, we'll welcome your calls here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. We're talking about vaccines, which you're not going to get, of course, from your local hospital administrator. And of course, most of these things your doctor frankly doesn't know. Our 14th set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just wanted to mention to you some of the things that we carry here at Radio Liberty. We hope you'll be interested in. One of them, of course, is the Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any medical claims for them. But I will tell you that I get some of the most amazing testimonies from the people who use these for one thing or another. And, of course, I use them, and my wife uses them, and they really are just wonderful to have around the house. We wouldn't be without the gel, or certainly the soap or the moisturizing soap. And end of my, certainly the neutralizer, many people say that it helps them as far as their heartburn is concerned. And I've heard this from so many people who've taken it and then quit taking it. The heartburn came back, and occasionally my wife has to take one of those expensive pills, but most of the time she'll do very, very well simply with a neutralizer, which is just a very alkaline solution, mineralized, and I don't know why it seems to help people. But if you'd like to know about these products, call us at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And we also carry something called Phenopoly. And Phenopoly is a program to teach children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And of course, most programs like this are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95. It's 5 board games and 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. Now, the beauty of this is that in about 16 hours, you can undo all the harm that's been done in government schools. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, which on 22 CDs, you get the entire gamut of the entire education from grammar school to high school graduation for $199.95. The textbooks are there. The only thing you need independently are the Saxon math books, and you can get those at a discount from Dr. Robinson. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for the Robinson Curriculum. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is Dr. Cheryl Tenpenny, and she's been talking about, damage that, of course, we can get from this autoimmune response to vaccines that's creating allergies, and this is really a very, very real problem.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, fine. Now, we're seeing a lot more in the way of asthma. We're seeing a lot more of autoimmune diseases in our children. What about the possibility that may explain some of the marked increase in juvenile diabetes? Is there anything to suggest that the doubling of juvenile diabetes is related to this?
Some of Dr. Burton Clapp's research has shown a statistically significant correlation between hepatitis B, the Prevnar, which is the pneumonia vaccine, and the Hib, which is for the H flu bacterial infection. Those three vaccines, Hib, hepatitis B, and Prevnar, have shown a statistically significant correlation to the development of insulin-dependent diabetes 3 to 10 years after the vaccines have been given. And his studies have been published in multiple peer-reviewed journals throughout the medical industry.
But, gee, we're not hearing about this, you know, from Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw.
No, and as a matter of fact, the CDC's media machine, as soon as those sorts of reports come out, crank out new reports to do everything to poo-poo and dismiss anybody's findings that say that something is wrong with the sacred cow.
All right, fine. So then, of course, we have this epidemic of autism.
Right.
From 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 250 children. And, of course, this is such a terrible, terrible disease. I mean, it destroys the child. It destroys the family. And you see an awful lot of these children. First of all, let's talk about the cause and then, of course, what can be done for them.
Well, I just feel that there is a definite correlation between vaccination and autism. Now, do I feel that that's a one-to-one correlation? Not necessarily, not in every single case, but the way that I explain it to parents and when I talk to groups of physicians who are more holistically minded, I will say that there is a, if your health is represented in a pie diagram, that pie diagram has little sectors in it, and each one of those sectors may be something different that is contributing to autism. Things like vaccines, genetically modified food, pesticides, organophosphates, underlying genetics, underlying allergy, and immunological problem history in the medical history of the family. There are various types of problems that may show up in that pie diagram. However, I feel that vaccines are always a piece. It's never 0%. And that in some children, it may be 5%, it may be 100%. But there is certainly a correlation because of what is happening to the immune system when you inject live viruses, stealth viruses, aluminum, mercury, MSG, formaldehyde, and on and on and on directly into the bloodstream.
What about the thimerosal that they've been putting in our vaccines for so many years? And, of course, when people started to talk about it, they said, oh, well, we'll take it out now. Well, but why would they take it out if it was safe? And if it wasn't safe, why would they put it in? And why are they leaving it in for senior citizens like myself? And they tell us, you've got to go get your influenza shot, and it's going to have thimerosal in it, which, of course, is so toxic to the brain. What's this really all about?
I'm not sure. And thimerosal is the fancy medical term for mercury. And so when we talk, those two words are synonyms. And through the discovery process, they have found in the class action lawsuit that is involved in the thimerosal issue, that as early as April 1930, there were documents found in the Eli Lilly files that show that they've known since that time that mercury is toxic and is a real problem in the vaccines and in other types of pharmaceuticals. So they've known for a very long time that that's been a problem.
Do you think that's why the Bush administration wanted to put something in the Homeland Security Act, having nothing to do with vaccines, but saying that Eli Lilly couldn't be sued?
I believe that we have interpreted it that way, but because there are hundreds of other products that have thimerosal in them, I believe that the trial lawyers were going to be opening up a big Pandora's box for Eli Lilly, and it wasn't just about the thimerosal in vaccines, that once they could get that case, that lawsuit passed, and probably won because of the information that is out there and available, it would be the entire litany rest of those drugs that would open up the problem for Eli Lilly. And I believe that that was really the underlying thing, was to close the door to all the thimerosal issue, not just the thimerosal in vaccines.
But there was no need for the thimerosal in the vaccines. As long as it was a single-dose shot, it was just put in case it was a multiple-dose shot and in case somebody put a dirty needle into the bottle. Wasn't that sort of the rationale behind it?
That was the rationale, and there is also data to show that the mercury in the multi-dose vials really didn't even act as a real good antiseptic. It really didn't necessarily have effects against particularly bacteria such as Staph aureus. And so, it was one of those things, well, I think this will work, and let's put it in here to make it be more of a stabilizer and make it be more sterile in the multi-dose vials, but it didn't always work. It's like most of the other things with vaccines, it just doesn't always work.
Well, of course, now that they've taken it out multiple dose vials, and of course apparently they're going to single dose vials, but of course they're leaving it in for the old folks, and aren't their brains susceptible to the mercury toxicity? And how much mercury are we talking about?
Well, each one of the vaccines has 25 micrograms of mercury, and there's some evidence that shows that I think the statistics were, if you had a flu shot 6 out of 10 years in a row, it statistically increased your risk of Alzheimer's, because it's a lot of mercury to be injected directly into the bloodstream. And they have shown now unequivocally that the mercury does show neurological degradation of central nervous system brain cells when it's directly deposited in the brain. The University of Calgary showed that a few years ago, and that research is all available on the web. And so it's not just the aluminum and Alzheimer's connection, there's also a mercury and Alzheimer's connection. And that some of the vaccines have a combination of mercury and aluminum together, which those two heavy metals synergistically increase the amount of toxicity that happens to the brain.
And of course, we hear this, there's mercury in tuna fish, or there's mercury in swordfish, and we can't have you eating those. But, the amount of mercury you're going to get in tuna fish or swordfish is very small. It's going to be in your gut. They're putting this right into your bloodstream, and of course it can cross the blood-brain barrier right into your brain. In fact, doesn't mercury have an affinity for the brain and brain tissue?
Yes, and two things about that tuna issue. One is what you just said. It's that when you have ingested mercury, and if you have working intestinal tracts, and you have a little enzyme down there called metallothionein that acts as a barrier to keep the mercury out, the mercury that you've been eating from fish will go through your liver, go through your bile, and be deposited in your stool and excreted. Some of it will also go out through your urine. And so the amount is very small and much less of a concern than being injected into the bloodstream. And up until it was either 2001 or 2002, but very, very recently, Rogam had 25 micrograms of mercury in every shot. And for your listeners, Rogam is the shot that they give pregnant women that have Rh-negative blood, so it stops a reaction that may prevent them from getting pregnant in the future. Starting in the late 1980s, they began giving Rogam during pregnancy. For all the years before that Rogam was available, they gave it at the time of birth or at the time of delivery. Now, if a woman who is Rh negative has even the tiniest little bit of spotting at any time during her pregnancy, they will give her a Rogam shot during pregnancy, and she may get somewhere anywhere from 1 to 3, maybe even 4 Rogam shots during pregnancy. And up until very recently, each one of those shots also had 25 micrograms of mercury, which could adversely affect neurological development of the fetus.
Well, didn't they ever bother to think about that when they started giving them?
I don't think so.
All right, and so this is the thing. I mean, and this is why, you know, I used to sort of scoff at all these people who were skeptical of vaccines until I began to read and study. And the trouble is, when you are practicing medicine, you don't have time to read all these things. If you're a busy doctor, I know I didn't. And it wasn't really until I got into doing talk radio when I began to read these reports and, of course, read the books and go onto the web and find these things, as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has done, you begin to realize the doctor is not being told the truth. And if he doesn't know the truth, he can't tell you, and he's going to do what he's told. So you and the audience are responsible not only for your health, but for the health of your children. And you better find out about the vaccines. Now, you put on actually lectures, don't you, Sherry, that where actually people can come and learn from you for a couple of days?
Yeah, I do. In fact, we have a seminar that's coming up. It's actually here in Cleveland. I'm located in Strongsville, which is a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. And we're going to be doing the seminar here in Cleveland. It's September the 13th, primarily for practitioners and on a space availability that parents can also be able to attend that. I'm actually going to be in Dallas on Monday on a television show that's going to be talking about the vaccines. And I'm also going to be doing seminars out in California just in this next week or so. So I do lots of traveling around to get this information out to lots of doctors and health practitioners, chiropractors, acupuncturists, naturopaths, people who are open to the idea of health, and they're just not into their practices for treating disease.
Well, now, of course, where are you going to be in California? Because, of course, a lot of the people in, at least in the Monterey Bay area here, that would hear this directly. Of course, this is being heard on shortwave. It's being heard on the Internet. But whereabouts are you going to be in California?
I'm going to be in San Mateo.
Well, that's not that far away. Yeah. Do you have a telephone number where people could call if they're interested in hearing you?
Yeah, I'm in San Mateo and also in San Rafael.
San Rafael, right.
I can give you the number for that to call.
All right.
It's actually a program sponsored by Apex Energetics, and you can call and register for that class by calling 800-736-4381.
All right, that's 800-736-4381, and her San Mateo is not that far away from here.
And that is on July the 31st,
right,
when I'm going to be there. It'll be this next week. We'll be in San Mateo and San Rafael.
All right, fine. And, of course, if you can't make that, you may want to think about getting your video. And the number is 440-268-0897. So, I mean, there is so much more. In fact, if we've just sort of touched on the surface. What about all these new Haemophilus shots? And they want to give us a shot for everything. But the more shots you take, the more allergic reactions you get, isn't it? That true?
I believe that's going to be true as time goes on more and more and more. In fact, there are more than 200 vaccines in the pipeline, and they're expecting somewhere between 10 and 20 more vaccines to be put into the adolescent vaccination schedule within the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, I know I would talk to Dr. Kenneth Alabak, who was the number 2 man in the Soviet biological warfare unit. He told me personally that he had taken over 50 vaccinations for 56 different bacteria and viruses. He says he's so allergic to everything. He can't eat anything. He can't touch anything. He said you take these many vaccines, it'll kill you.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's really true. I believe that there is... what the toll that the body has to go through to handle all these things. Because when you think about it, Dr. Stan, when you get these infections, if you normally contract an infection, most of those infections go through the mucous membranes and into the gut, and then if they invade from there, they get into your bloodstream, and your body has lots of chances to develop an immune reaction, and that's what a fever is about, and that's what diarrhea and a cough and all those things to try to expel those viruses. And what we're actually doing is just injecting all of these things directly into the bloodstream and expecting the body to be able to handle it. And it just aggravates me when I read these reports in the medical literature when they talk about a vaccine is there to trick the immune system.
And of course, the thing, I'm not sure who's getting tricked, but the other thing is that the problem we have is this is an entirely different mechanism. I mean, there's a number of different immune responses, and they're using one, whereas ordinarily if you contract measles, you're immune for life, but they use an entirely different pathway for immune response than when you give them a shot. Isn't that so?
That's absolutely the truth. That's very true, and that's why vaccines do not last a lifetime, and that's why we get into this whole litany of necessary vaccine boosters.
And, of course, how often do you have to take the booster then? I know after you take all these hepatitis B shots you don't need as a child, then when you get to be about 14, you have to start taking boosters on that.
That's right, and that's for MMR and for hepatitis B. Now they're thinking about adding a booster right before school starts for the chickenpox vaccine, and they're talking about now adding pertussis into the adult population again. And we've all known for years that giving a pertussis vaccine after the age of 7 can cause some serious health problems. But they're looking at that. They're looking at sexually transmitted disease vaccines. They're looking at anti-cancer vaccines to do genetic manipulation. There's a vaccine in development that's for periodontal disease, one for lowering cholesterol. I mean, it's like almost like if you can think of a problem, they're trying to develop a vaccine for it.
But the trouble is they don't try it for 10 or 15 years to make sure there's no serious problems. You know, they do a very superficial treatment. If nobody gets sick within a relatively short period of time, they put it on the market. And then, of course, down the line, we begin to see the complications. And then, of course, we can't sue the vaccine manufacturers because they're exempt, and we can't sue the government that recommended it because they're exempt. So what comeback does the average individual have?
Unfortunately, it almost has to start from the very beginning of just saying no and knowing your rights and refusing to do it in the first place. And sometimes that can be very difficult. You know, there's about 17 states that have a philosophical exemption that will allow you to not vaccinate your kid to get them into school. All states, with the exception of West Virginia and Mississippi, have a religious exemption. The National Vaccine Information Center can help people with writing their exemptions to refuse vaccines for their kids for school. There is an OSHA exemption for people who want to refuse the hepatitis B vaccine. The government gives you an exact way for you to refuse that vaccine if you don't want it, and nobody ever tells you that.
Yeah, well, I wish I'd never taken it, that's for certain. And I think that, this is a non-issue. I only remember one doctor who ever contracted it, and of course he really sort of brought that on himself. But when you stop and think of the risk-benefit ratio, you want to make sure that the benefit outweighs the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're just about out of time. The parting thought?
To know your rights. Do your research, do your homework, and don't be afraid to say no.
All right, fine. And just ask him to sign that form that you have with you, saying, I'll be fully responsible if there's a complication. Thank you, Dr. Tenpenny. It's always a pleasure having you with us.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
Okay, bye-bye. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of
peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement, is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIB-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to tell you about a couple of things that we have. One of them, if you are out there and you think we may have some difficult times in the future, there might be difficulty getting food and other things, and you'd like to have something on hand for emergencies, give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you a ready reserve food catalog. And then, of course, if you're out there and, of course, you're struggling with health care costs, we hope, of course, that many of you will consider a Christian health cost-sharing program. A Christian health cost-sharing program. It's called MediShare. And just give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for information on MediShare. Now, we've been talking today about vaccines. We've got a wonderful four-tape set on vaccination. We recommend it. And, of course, we have a wonderful book. It's called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. That's Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life by Dr. Russell Blaylock. And if you want to get those, why, either the video or the book, or we have actually four interviews with Dr. Blaylock entitled Life-Saving Secrets. If you prefer, you can get the Life-Saving Secrets four-tape set rather than the book, or better still, get both of them together. So you get the book Vaccines, you get the four-tape set Life-Saving Secrets, and then, of course, you can get the book Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And certainly we think the book is excellent. We also think that the four-tape sets, both of those, will give you tremendous insight into the problems we have. You need to have the facts about the vaccinations, and you need to know what you're going to say when you're told your child has to be vaccinated. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we're really dependent primarily on the people who listen to our programs, who help us, who join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, whatever you can afford, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us to pay the radio bills as we reach out across America every week on about 58, 59 different outlets. But believe me, it's expensive, and quite frankly, we need your help to continue doing what we're doing. A lot of people are having a bad time economically out of work, and of course, we've lost some of our supporters because of that. We hope if you're out there and there's any way you can help us, you'll seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, the June newsletter deals with why we have all the new diseases cropping up and, of course, why we have antibiotic resistance and why so much cancer. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-544-8927. Ask for the June newsletter. And then, of course, if you would like to know about some of the products that I use and I think are great, one of them is Alamax. It's a garlic product, and I take it every day. I haven't had a serious cold in over about 9 months. I certainly blood pressure was 120. The doctor couldn't believe it last time I went in. But anyway, Alamax is available by calling 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. If you'd like to set up an Institute of the Constitution and help take America back and teach people about our Christian heritage, the number is 410-760-9068. 410-760-9068. We offer Phenopoly, a program to teach children to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. And then, of course, we offer the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum, which is a wonderful curriculum. It's on 22 CDs. It'll take your child from grammar school all the way through high school graduation for $199.95. And, of course, all you have to do is buy the sex and math books. All the rest of the textbooks are there, the lesson plans, the tests, the answers. Everything's on the Robinson Homeschool curriculum. If you're having problems as far as your medical insurance, or you don't have medical insurance, consider a Christian health cost sharing program. A Christian health cost sharing program is called MediShare. Then, of course, we hope that many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And if you go there, of course, you can see the pictures of the various water filters that we carry, the Berkey water filters. If you get them to us, of course, you'll get a four-tape set or a video free of charge if you buy them through Radio Liberty. And then, of course, you can pull down our programs 5 hours every day and not get much accomplished, but you will get a lot of education. Go to RadioLiberty.com, and then you can learn about our other affiliates, of course, at the Genesis, GCN, .com, and then, of course, another network. They're all there. They're all listed on our webpage, and perhaps even a radio station in your area that you'd like to listen to on the weekend. Again, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and your job is to tell others about our programs. Your job is to tell them about our shortwave programs or the radio station that you're listening to. And if you're listening it on a radio station, call them and tell them how much you really enjoy this program. Tell others about our internet, RadioLiberty.com, because that's how we're beginning to get people to understand what's going on out across America, from sea to shining sea. Well, this is the time, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, because we're really involved in a spiritual battle. And behind everything that's going on, behind all that foes have plotted, behind all that saints have planned, behind the schemes of men and demons, is a higher hidden hand. It is about time you understood we are in a spiritual war. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, and then to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday, when we'll be back with you again, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.